Hey everyone, this is Steven here.
And Alex too.
And we have a kind of a different episode for you coming up. We recorded this in two sections, and this is because we recorded just a few hours before the announcement of the new format of Series 8. So this whole, the first chunk of the episode is going to be our conversation with Santino Tarquinio about the Pokemon Players Cup 3 online competition. So that'll be the first section, and we're actually recording the day after that recording, and we now have the Series 8 format and what that's all going to be about. So everyone, enjoy the episode. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the Hyper Voice, episode 120. This is a show all about Pokemon's video game championship series. I am your host, Steven Morioka, and I am here with Alex Underhill.
Hey.
And Santino Tarquinio.
How's it going, everyone?
Hey, Santino. Glad to have you back on the show. It is our pleasure to have you here. So, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys. The pleasure's all mine, really. I had a blast on the first time, and I'm happy to be back.
Excellent. Well, we have a lot to talk about today with the online competition for Players Cup 3. We're going to talk about our stories from the weekend, you know, how we did, and what's going on in the metagame for the Series 7, perhaps the last tail end of Series 7. Before we get to any of that, we're just going to go over a few other topics first. And the first one is the women's tournament to the second one. Just plugging this tournament again, that is February 6th and 7th. Open to any woman or woman identifying person out there to compete in this tournament. This is going to be next month in a few weeks, playing likely in that new series format we're still kind of waiting on at the time of this recording. So while that's a big mystery, we know the women's tournament 2 is happening. So just plugging that, just advertising that for all of them there. And we'll talk about that later on when that happens and when we get more information on that. Anyway, let's move on from there. And talk about another thing that is related to Santino being on here. Now, Santino, you are the first Players' Cup champion. We've also had the second edition of that tournament. And, I mean, I'm sure you paid attention to that tournament. You saw that Wolfclick won with a team that is very similar to your team. And let's just go over these Pokemon again. It was Colossal, Dragapult, Rillaboom, Incineroar, and Urshifu Rapid Strike, which are the five Pokemon you both shared on your teams, and you had Togekiss on yours, and Wolf had Galarian Moltres. So, Santino, what are just your thoughts on the Colossal archetype winning again, and how similar it was to your team?
Obviously, I mean, I'm happy that Colossal managed to win a second time. I think it's really funny, and people have pointed this out as well, that it's pretty much the same team, except the flying type is different. And now, like, the thing now is, for Players Cup 3, you know, it'll be Colossal, Urshifu, Rillaboom, Incineroar, Dragapult again. Who's the flying type going to be, you know? So, like, seeing all the little predictions is fun. The Moltres, I thought, was a super good pick. You know, not only for Sun, like Wolf said, but also for Spectrier. After testing Colossal a little bit in Series 7 myself, like, Spectrier's not a Pokemon you really think about whenever it comes to, you know, it's not really a Pokemon that you anticipate being a Colossal answer when you first kind of think about it. But like, it's very special, bulky, and it does get strong max quakes, so it's definitely a huge threat. So him having the pretty smart idea to put on a Galarian Moltres that not only kind of, you know, has the life orb, so it doesn't have to really rely on weakness policy to get damage. Seeing as how nothing on Wolf's team, you know, could boost it, and obviously Colossal needs the boost itself. But also the fact that Moltres just pairs really well with, like, the support that Wolf had, you know, like the Incineroar, the Rillaboom, and even like the Urshifu to an extent. Speaking of the Rillaboom, the bulkier one he decided to use, I thought was kind of weird at first. On my team, Rillaboom was sort of used as like the backup cleanup Pokemon, you know? It was meant to get rid of water types and get rid of them quickly, you know? Whereas Wolf's is, you know, so much more bulkier and just not as strong. I think he was still adamant nature, but he barely had any, you know, investment into attack. His item was the Assault Fest, so it was definitely kind of a strange choice for me to see, but, I mean, just kind of based on how he played the team and, you know, his more defensive nature when it comes to the game, it definitely made sense as a pick for him. I just thought it was super interesting to see that even though, you know, we had such similar Pokemon, the way that we ran them was pretty different.
Now, if I remember correctly, you kind of started on Colossal because you were using, like, a team that Wolf had made? Is this correct? I don't want to assume correctly.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's actually kind of funny that, yeah, so he won the, what month was it? I think it was April?
April, right? Sounds right.
Yeah, the April, yeah. I see. Yeah, he ended up winning that with the Colossal team, which I ended up taking heavy inspiration from that. I pretty much ripped the Togekiss straight from that. You know, I used the Gastrodon, and yeah, the Colossal teams that I was using in the beginning, you know, like series 3 and 4, were very, very much based off of his. And then, you know, I mean, I don't think his PlayerScape 2 team was really based off of mine specifically. I think it was just kind of like, oh, you know, like, it's a Colossal, it needs Rillaboom, it needs Urshifu, and he kind of just came to the same conclusions that I had. But it is funny that, you know, kind of how the tables sort of turned.
Yeah, so then, this team just kind of keeps getting iterated on this archetype. Colossal's got a lot of different ways that it can be run. Like, I know that you ran a different Colossal team in the IC. Mm-hmm. I also ran a different Colossal team in the IC that we'll both kind of get to talk about a little bit in depth later. And
I'll also just add in that I ran a more traditional version of a Colossal team.
Oh, wow.
Of course. Okay, so we got a bunch of coal miners in the chat.
I didn't realize that.
So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of fun that it's just kind of gone this way that, you know, Wolf, at the very least, had to have taken some inspiration from your team and your run, and that Colossal won it again. The same kind of team. That's kind of crazy. And you had said that the flying type had changed. My interpretation when I saw the update was more so that it was updated with the latest DLC. You know, you had to add something in from the Crown Tundra to keep the team relevant or something or whatever. And so, like, that's why I thought the Moltres was added. But going forward, I don't think we're getting another set of DLC unless they really want to catch us off guard. So, yeah, it's probably going to have to be a new flying type.
At this point, I would say, yeah. I mean, any guesses on what the flying type might be? If you had to name one.
Do any flying types learn Aqua Jet? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Does Mantine?
I mean, Lugia can use Surf. I don't know. Anyway, that's really cool to hear about, you know, just the similarities in your teams and how both you were prime users of this team, you know, early on, and just kind of kept running with this style of a team, this archetype. And I think the big takeaway from these two Players Cup champions in Wolf and you, Santino, is that when we get to the global finals of Players Cup 3, if you're not using Colossal, you're just throwing. Come on.
It's going to be just like coal mirrors and coal counters.
Yeah, every coal running max speed, every coal running max quake. You know, just hope you get the coin flip, I guess.
Man, wait, so you run Modest Coal, though, mostly, don't you?
I ran Modest for the regional finals. No, I'm sorry. The regional qualifier for PC1. I switched to Timid in the global finals of 1, and then for this IC, I ran Timid again.
I don't know how much the podcast listeners care to listen to us talk about EV spread refinements or whatever, but I always found that I liked running Timid Coal on any of the coal teams that I ran, or specifically when I played with any of the teams that you made, just because you get like a good jump on a lot of the Pokemon in the metagame. Like, I never cared about the damage. It was more so about the speed, where, like, there's a lot of Pokemon that fall in the range of, I think it was, what, you outspeed 95s when Modest, max, and then you up speed up to Thunderous, I think, and Timid. And I always liked out speeding Thunderous and I don't know, random things like Kartana, Terrakion, Neolego, Urshifu, whenever you're there in like Tailwind or something.
Yeah. I think that's super important. I do know that Wolf ran Modest, and I think
really?
Yes. And I think I believe he only had enough speed to outspeed Venusaur, and like I kinda get it, you know, it was only a tournament of 16 people. You kind of had an idea of where it's like, okay, I'm probably not gonna face like Terrakion or Charizard, but I think for an IC or like if you're just going up versus a lot of people and a lot of different teams, I think going Timid just makes a lot of sense. For the reasons you mentioned, you know.
A lot more assurance there, but that's a good point. You know, Players Cup Finals is a different tournament of its own. You are not building for the wider metagame. You are building for a set of 15 other players that you kind of have an idea of who they are.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Yeah, and speaking of that wider metagame, let's move on to our Players Cup 3 online competition. This qualifier we played over this past weekend, all three of us were playing in it. We know another like 47,000 people are also playing in it. Just want to just do a quick comparison of the numbers before we start talking about our rankings, ratings, and our teams. And that is the first Players Cup had over 73,000 players in it. The second Players Cup had 42,300. And this one had, like I mentioned a few seconds ago, a little over 47,000. So similar numbers to the second Players Cup and a little bit more. Not sure what the odd like jump of 5,000 people were, where that came from. But what do you two make of this?
So the numbers shifting from 1 to 2 and 3 are not too surprising, at least with the Players Cup 1 being the largest one, because that was, of course, the May I See. It was the May I See, you know?
Oh, yeah, and the shirt they gave out for Ultra Ball guy?
Yeah, there was an Ultra Ball shirt, I think. That's right. But the main thing, that is an important thing to mention, is there was the shirt, and the tournament was branded as the May I See. It was not branded as the Players Cup qualifier. Honestly, I don't even know what I would say is the main factor giving the Players Cup 3 a larger boost. I might even attribute it to Wolf winning Players Cup 2 and maybe generating more interest in the Players Cup as a whole. But other than that, I don't know if you guys have any other interpretations of this.
I was actually thinking the same thing. I know his coverage of the first Players Cup wasn't, you know, too big because he ended up getting out in the regional. So him winning and, like, you know, posting a bunch of videos and stuff on his channel probably did give it the popularity boost that, you know, probably enough to get it up from PC2. I am a little surprised. The numbers being pretty similar aren't super surprising, but I'm actually a little surprised that it's higher, because I don't know about you guys, but I thought the rankings in this time around were almost kind of lower than they were.
That's what
two,
I thought, too.
Right?
I mean, we probably should just talk about that as a whole. It was kind of a general community thing, especially for people that are active on Twitter or just in any kind of Pokemon group chat. I felt like the community as a whole was saying, oh, is this IC harder? It's feeling harder. Mm-hmm. And like everyone was struggling a bit more. I know myself, I was struggling quite a bit. And it might just because I'm out of practice. Who knows? I mean, there could be a variety of reasons that everybody was struggling. But I just don't know what exactly leads to that that feeling that everyone had. Is it the format? Is it, you know, was it a lack of interest from the community? It's really confusing that the whole, a large part of the community came together and said, this IC feels harder.
Yeah, I don't know if it's maybe just the, maybe, you know, compared to, actually, you know what? This was the first IC with Series 7, correct? Because the second one was 5, yeah.
Oh, true.
I mean, maybe it should. So, yeah, maybe it is the format. I don't know. I mean, we are at a point right now where teams are a bit more refined in this format. So maybe people have just built stronger, better teams. I don't know if maybe the cheese level was a little higher. I know, you know, obviously Trick, Grimmsnarl, and Whimsicott were abound in this one, especially with the full incense and stuff. But I don't know. It just felt like the players I was playing were better or were more prepared to what I was doing. I guess all three of us were playing Colossal, which is a team that was probably on a lot of people's radar, so maybe that was a factor as well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention this, and this is actually a reason that I had worked out with friends that it could be a decent contributing factor, and that this is ultimately, you know, the qualifier for Players' Cup. And we kind of learned from Players' Cup 2 that buys are rewarded to the top seeds. And so we might have seen players put a bit more effort into qualifying this time. Players' Cup 2, people maybe were a little bit more lazy about their qualification. You know, they knew that, oh, 1640 and NA got in, so I can just park around 1680 or whatever and just call it quits and I'll be okay. And then it came to be that the top finishing seeds got the buys for anybody that didn't show up. So maybe that was what drove people to push a little bit harder this time, to try a little bit more, is that, you know, there are buys on the line, and you can't underestimate, you know, the power of buys. You know, it's something to strive for.
Absolutely. And I would probably say I'm one of those people, actually. I ended up stopping kind of lower during the second one, but I kind of got to a point where, you know, I felt like I qualified, you know, without too many games, and I had so many games left, so I just figured, you know, I might as well just keep going and trying to get the buy, and that was a pretty big factor for why I decided to keep playing the game, even though I was at a point where I felt like I qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Santino, we'll get to your ranking in a little bit here, and your rating as well. And I think you're also like number 4 in terms of the English carts I saw on Pokemon Home's data. And speaking of that, like the participation numbers we were talking about all came from Pokemon Home, from all those Players Cup tournaments. So everyone out there, you can also listen to or check those out on your own. And I also want to say, like, the small jump in numbers, like, Wolf may be a contributing factor, so both of you might have been spot on about that. Also, we just passed the holiday season, so maybe more people got the game. But again, like, I can't imagine a competitive player who didn't have the game yet. But there could have been just new people who jumped in, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about some of our ranks and ratings. First off, I just want to talk about the first place finisher who finished with a rating of 1821. I believe with a Chinese language cart, that's all the information I know about this person. And that's just a really impressive score in this kind of a tournament, which we were just saying was pretty difficult this time around.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I swear the score in Players' Cup 2 was higher, though. I mean, maybe that was an easier tournament. I really, really, really don't know. But it's too tough to say. But yeah, 1821 is a super solid score. It's always fun to see what are the winners of these, like what score you have to achieve. Really wish we knew what the team was that they were running was, or like the record. That'd be really cool to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the team we do know, right? I think I can actually pull it up real quick if you guys want.
Did they like tweet about it or something or share it?
Yes. So there's a site. Are you guys familiar with Liberty Note?
Yeah, I do know. I think I've heard of it before.
Yeah, Liberty Note ended up posting the top 30 teams from the IC. And okay, so I guess we can touch on this a little bit. So are you guys aware of the Porygon 2 that they used? The mixed Porygon 2?
Wait, is it the funny one?
The mixed one with Giga Impact?
It is that one?
Yes, that's the one that won.
Really?
With 252 in both offenses?
Yes, 4 HP, 252 in both offenses.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was, what, Giga Impact, Thunderbolt Blizzard, I think Tri-Attack? It didn't have Recover and it did not have Trick Room, which is just bonkers.
I mean, I would not see that coming.
Yeah, I actually faced against a team that somebody even wrote like a report on Smogon. It was a team of Zoroark and Porygon 2.
Ooh,
That was built around surprising your opponents with unexpected sets and playing off of like preconceived notions of the metagame or something. And there was a little write-up on it, so I guess I'm plugging that now. You guys can go look that up on Smogon or whatever, because I don't remember the exact title. But anyway, the Zoroark would like go for fake tears, and then the Porygon 2 would Dynamax. It was analytic with Life Orb, and just it would go crazy. Unfortunately, it didn't exactly work against me because I had a Regigigas and a Weezing on the field. But the battle was close. It was still pretty, pretty funny. It was a Porygon 2 that completely caught me off guard. And I would say the same for the Porygon 2 that you're mentioning here. I'm trying to find. Yeah, I think it had Giga Impact, Tri-Attack, Blizzard, Thunderbolt.
Yeah, I believe so.
Man.
Which is
man.
Just... And I didn't face it during the tournament itself, but I know on Showdown, I definitely ran into it. Like, they led Grimmsnarl, Porygon 2, and I ended up leading Azumarill Colossal. My plan was like, okay, they have pretty, you know, passive Pokemon. You know, it has the attack boost, it doesn't have the special attack boost. I'm just going to switch in my Gothitelle, click Parish Song, done deal. Porygon 2 max strikes the Azumarill, and it gets one shot. And I just sit there trying to reason, like how it happened. Because, like, I'm like, okay, I know Porygon 2 doesn't get returned anymore, so it can't be that. Like, am I missing something? And I ended up using Gate Impact later in the match, which I didn't even know it learned, number one. So, yeah, that was kind of my first exposure to this crazy team.
I think the winning team also had Substitute on two Pokemon, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was on Dracovish. Yeah, it was Sea Instance Dracovish with Sub. I don't remember what the second one was. Oh, it was Nihilego was the second one.
Yeah. And then, like, that full incense trick Grimmsnarl, which, honestly, Steven, I don't even know if we've touched that on the podcast, man. We're, like, so out of touch with the metagame. We've just been talking about all kinds of stuff that maybe you guys love, maybe you guys don't. Maybe it's not super relevant, but we're trying, like, anyway, we need to talk about full incense Grimmsnarl, because that is, like, or Lagging Tail. It is, like, sweeping the metagame right now, and that's, like, part of the reason that we'll kind of talk about Grimmsnarl later being, like, top 10 in usage, I think, in... at least in this tournament, maybe, and it's like close to top 10 in the Battle Stadium ratings anyway.
Yeah, even like heading into this episode, I knew like, oh, we got to talk about this trick Grimmsnarl that has Lagging Tail or Full Incense now. Like, this is a big thing that we have to mention from this tournament. Anyway, Alex, where were you going to go from there?
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention, like, I guess a little bit about how it works, just to kind of explain it. You know, Grimmsnarl still has Prankster on its trick for the turn, so it's going to go before the opponent moves. However, even though we have the updated speed mechanics or whatever, the dynamic speed tiers or whatever, the speed, it doesn't update until the next turn. So if you were to trick a Thundurus, it would still move before your Urshifu, assuming both are max speed. And, however, the Thundurus no longer gets to take advantage of its item, which is honestly strong enough. If you take away the item of a Dynamax Pokemon, you're already in a good spot. You know, you're taking away their weakness policy, their life orb. They usually want their item. I mean, Dynamax Pokemon can take advantage of their items assuming they're not a choiced item. And so for the most part, that's where their power is coming from, as well as the upgraded base power moves, but of course. And, then from that point on, they're moving last no matter the speed control. You know, Tailwind can't fix this. Trick Room can't fix this. And it makes it really hard to make the most of your Dynamax when it's always moving last, doesn't have an item boost, and your opponent just can really play around it. And I'm surprised this is something that's, like, picking up now. It's not something that I had thought of before, but it just seems like something that, like, the players as a whole should have figured out is so strong in Dynamax. We'd have been messing around with Trick Eject button pretty early in the Dynamax formats. And I'm just surprised that people didn't come across this earlier, because this seems like something that would make sense in any format that we've played over the past year.
Yeah, like in hindsight, it just seems a lot better than Trick Eject, because like Trick Eject is just so easy to get around, because you just either fake out the Eject Pokemon or, you know, hit it with a priority or something, but with Lagging Tail and Fuentes, you can't do that. That item is on that Grimmsnarl, right, no matter what. So at any point in the match, it can just give it to you. And yeah, like Alex mentioned, just removing items and making the Pokemon go slow no matter what, especially onto a Dynamax Pokemon. And, I mean, it's game changing. And I'm really surprised that it took us us as a player base this long to kind of catch on that is a really good strategy.
It's really cool. I wish we had known about it longer.
I think it's also just a factor of, like, I don't know what it is, but this metagame lasted an extra month longer, and we got more time to actually, you know, experiment and try these things out. So, despite having Grimmsnarl all of this past year, and I think it's a really cool new tech that we've seen within these last few weeks, especially over this past tournament. Like, I ran into a good number of these Grimmsnarl doing this, and it was really frustrating me. I was like, oh, this is so annoying. I hate this Lagging Tail on my Pokemon now. And, you know, it's just really cool to see that. Anyway, we'll get to the Grimmsnarl and the other Pokemon in high usage from this tournament, as well as like a battle stadium. But let's move back to the tournament, talk about where we all ended up finishing, what teams we used, and like what our experiences were playing this weekend. Santino, you have the highest rating of the three of us. Why don't you go first?
Sure. So I ended up finishing 30th, top 30 overall, and with a rating of 1755. The team I ended up using is one that I've actually posted about on Twitter. I ended up getting to number one in Battle Stadium, I think, the second day. So, you know, not too impressive, obviously, you know, only a couple days into the new ladder. But the team consisted of a Colossal, Azumarill, Gothitelle, Incineroar, Rillaboom, and Glastrier.
I was a big fan of the team. It was my second pick for the tournament. I actually used a very similar team to qualify for the last Players Cup, and so I wanted to do it again. I had something over the Glastrier because it wasn't out. It was in Series 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just a Dragapult, just a Surf Dragapult with screens and Ally Switch or something. I have to admit though, Santino, your team is just too tame. There's just, like, I ended up putting all the degenerate options on it when I was running it. You know, like, the Gothitelle doesn't need Psychic. I just put on Ally Switch. And then the Azumarill, I took off Draining Kiss and put on Sing, dude. I was just like, this is an IC. I just want to cheese my opponents whenever I can't win.
So, Draining Kiss?
But oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of this team. I really liked it because, like I had said, I had used a similar-ish team to qualify for the last one. And just... It is so stupid fun to lead with Azumarill, Colossal, and just say, like, am I switching and Parish Songing, or am I clicking Aqua Jet? That's up to you to decide.
Yeah, it's a really fun mind game, and I did have Sing on my Azumarill.
What, you did? Did you have Draining Kiss in the paste, then?
Oh, was Draining Kiss in my paste? Oh, no. I had Draining Kiss at one point, because I was like, I don't know, Urshifu, but... No, Sing is way better. It's so...
Okay.
Sing's a strange move. Psychic, though, yeah. Psychic was in my tweet, however, for the IC, I did change to Helping Hand. Which I feel like is super required with Glastrier, because this Glastrier isn't, you know, holding an attack-boosting item, so it kind of lacks in power at some points. It's also the reason why I ended up going Close Combat over Heavy Slam in the end as well. So, I guess just two differences from that. I guess just to... Real quick, sort of plug. You know, we mentioned a Liberty Note earlier. They're actually planning on having all top 30 players submit team reports for their team. So I will be submitting a team report for the team that I used. Probably not going to be up at the time that this goes out, but hopefully within the next week or so. So I can kind of go into that a little bit more.
You know. Really quick on a side note, don't want to... slander Santino and put anything any misinformation out there. I went and checked. It does have Sing. Then I don't know why my paste had Draining Kiss.
That's weird.
Somebody must have given me a false one or something, man. It was a cheap knockoff.
Well, I did have Draining Kiss at one point, so that's kind of why I was like, oh, did I post the
I
wrong
went and
thing,
checked your
but...
old tweet, and yeah, okay. I mean, either I'm crazy or somehow I got the exclusive early version. Who knows?
It's a mystery.
Regardless, I did play with your team, and it was very fun. I very much enjoyed that the Lumberry Glastrier as a Sun counter. The one time that somebody did lead Sun against me, and I had Glastrier, I was just like, "This is really nice." They just clicked Sleep Powder, and then they forfeited turn two. You know,
yeah.
It was
oh, it's
it was,
so good.
And that's what it's supposed to do. That's just great. I'll go ahead and mention my finish here. So I finished overall 781 with a ranking of 1658. Like I had said, I had struggled. You know, I had been talking down on the IC pretty much the whole time it was upcoming. And I was not afraid to, I'm not afraid to admit that. I thought it was going to be easy to qualify. So, and I really have not been playing Pokemon lately. So I just loaded up a team that I had seen Fevzi, I believe, use. Actually just after Players Cup, or like just before we were locking in for Players Cup 2 regional qualifiers, when I used Regigigas. He was using a Regigigas and Colossal team. You might know the one I'm talking about, Santino, do you? Do you remember that
I
team?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah. So the six Pokemon were Weezing, Kanto form, Regigigas, Dragapult Colossal, Urshifu, and Rillaboom, and the Urshifu was dark type. The reason being, I find that it's a better cleanup Pokemon, and the whole team was supposed to be kind of bait anyway. I was hoping to catch some people off guard when they're expecting to find a water Urshifu next to a Colossal, and instead I'm just going to Wicked Blow them. So, honestly, the team was just a four Pokemon team. I never brought the Colossal mode. Whenever I did, it was not the choice. Like, it was not working so well for me. Most people prepared for Colossal, it felt like. So props to you for doing so well with it, Santino. But yeah, I was very much enjoying just using Gigas Weezing. That's what I know. And it was a fun IC, at least when I was doing well. I honestly just approached it like I wanted to just mindlessly click buttons, since I, again, was just not too into VGC, haven't been playing. So I just wanted to get the games done with and then hopefully qualify and just hope that Series 8 is interesting.
Yeah, good stuff. So just moving on to me here. My ranking was 1135 with a rating of 1633. And my team was a Dragapult, Colossal, Urshifu, Rapid Strike, Incineroar, Rillaboom, and Celesteela. So one neat thing I want to point out, or a couple of neat things, is that this is the more traditional version of a Colossal team that heavily just focuses on the Colossal. I also have the Celesteela as an alternate Dynamax option, which I really liked a lot. I actually ran a pretty offensive one with an Absorb Bulb, so it abuses both Dragapult Surf or Urshifu's Aqua Jet, and then if I get a KO in Dynamax, I am getting like defense boost, speed boost, plus the special attack boost with Beast Boost. So I actually really like the Celesteela mode a lot, and caught a lot of people off guard when they were expecting Colossal, of course. And Rillaboom, I just want to point out, was not Choice Band or what's the other one? Assault Vest on mine. And I wanted to run Protect, and I found it very useful. I just ran Miracle Seed with Fake Out, Wood Hammer,
Miracle
and
Seed.
Grassy Glide.
Ugh, Miracle Seed, Steven. It's Rose Incense. Rose Incense is the more classy item. You gotta give your Rillaboom some swagger. You gotta let it, you know, be a little fancier.
I like the metal play myself.
I'm more of a brute, so I like the seed.
What was that, Santino?
I like the metal play myself, see?
Metal plate? Oh, man, well, it sounds like that's not legal. Wait, is it legal? Are the plates legal?
Wait, are they not?
I don't know. There was issues. I remember Jonathan Evans had some issue, but he wrote the wrong item at at London 1 or something like that. I don't know which ones are currently legal and not legal. There's like three of them for water typing, maybe four.
I think you're right, yeah, because there's wave ins. Aren't there two incenses for water?
Yes, there are two incenses for water. And then the water plate or whatever, splash plate, as well as mystic water. Yeah, mystic water.
Yeah, mystic water.
So lots of options if you want to boost your water moves just by a little bit. Good options to put on your Dracovish, as we saw with the IC winning team. So yeah, ultimately, we don't know if any of us are qualified. I mean, Santino's definitely looking like he might be okay. You know, we'll see if there happens to be 256 Americans above him. In his finish. Ultimately, we're really just waiting to see if Santino has secured a buy. And while it does seem pretty likely, the buys are a very strange thing just because it does come down to how many players fail to sign up and are, you know, have incorrect account issues. And so it's no surefire thing, though it does seem likely that Santino would get a buy, especially if Steven's mentioning he's like, you know, top four English carts. Like ultimately we're still going to have to wait until the signups come around.
Yeah, we may just have a full roster of people who signed up, and then everyone just has to play the first round, which is nice. I also want to mention that my brother also played in this tournament, my brother Wesley, former U.S. national champion from 11 years ago now, wow. And he was also using the same team I was using, and he finished at a rating of 1645, so he's higher than me. And I don't know the ranking on that, but he's higher than me, so he has a better chance of getting in than I do. Because I think either way, like, both Wesley and myself are in, like, very much that bubble zone. We don't know if we're in, we don't know if we're out. So it's kind of scary.
It's really going to come down to how many players above you did not sign up, are from other regions, or are from, I guess this kind of falls under regions, but say in Japan, you know. Japan and Korea won't be counted against you, and neither will other rating zones. Who knows when we'll get the results? Actually, let's talk timeline. Do you guys remember when we got the confirmation that we made it in or didn't?
I do not remember. For
Players Cup 2, I think all of you, like, as a global whole, got it maybe was it 2 weeks before the whole the regional qualifiers started?
I want to mention, when was the September IC for Players Cup 2?
What was that, last weekend of the month?
It was like the 20th, I think. Like somewhere around there, right?
Let me look at the dates in September. The weekend of the 25th or the weekend of the 18th? What do you guys think? Probably the 25th.
25th. Yeah, 25th, sure. I think.
Okay, so then the weekend of the 25th, and then I got my email October 26th for letting me know that I made it into Players Cup 2.
So about a month.
About a month. So we are going to be waiting. Obviously, you know, some of us are going to be waiting a little more eagerly than others, a little more nervously, and we'll just have to see who all makes the cut. And other than that, I don't know if there's any other interesting things you guys wanted to mention about your runs in Players Cup. I mentioned that I had like a fun encounter with a Zoroark. I don't know if I had any other super funny stories. You know, there was like it was just general IC craziness. Other than that, I think it was not too noteworthy. Steven, did you have anything interesting you wanted to mention about your run?
I'll just mention that I think I played Adi in this tournament. Like, I'm 96% sure I did.
Oh, wait a minute. No, you did. You did. You did. I was watching that game.
Oh, seriously? Cool. Okay, so all I'm going to say is, like, if at the very end of the game, if I hit my heat wave, like, I would have been fine. But I also realized that I had a better play I think I could have made that would have assured me the win. But anyway, good game, Adi.
Yeah, no, Adi was streaming some of the games for friends at some point, and so I had watched that. But that's fun.
Hold on, did you know it was me when he was playing that person?
I think I did, because it said Steven or something, and I saw the team, and I was like, I think I had just said maybe. I think I had said, I was like, this might be Steven Morioka. But I wasn't certain. But and I honestly don't even remember if I paid too much attention to the game.
Okay, so yeah, I played. I'm again must be Adi that I played in this tournament, and
you definitely did.
He was he had a team of like Urshifu, Water, Zapdos, Heatran, Rillaboom, was it Grimmsnarl with that trick lagging tail thing, and there's some other sixth thing I can't remember right now.
Did you mention Zapdos?
Yeah, I mentioned Zapdos, Kanto.
Okay. I can't remember Adi's full team. Anyway,
I can't remember the rest.
I wanted to ask Santino. Santino, I believe you streamed the beginning of your run?
The first couple games I ended up streaming to a couple friends, but what, like game 11 and like... So yes, like the a middle portion of my run I ended up streaming on Twitch.
That's what I thought. Okay, so you did the middle portion, and then the end, you just kind of went on your own and just clutched it and just skyrocketed.
Somehow,
And decided that you were done holding back, apparently.
I figured, you know, I had kind of already done well with the team prior. I figured if there was any IC where I could really go far, it's probably going to be this one. And again, just kind of seeing how buys were handled for Players Cup 2, I figured if they're handled the same way, then I would very much like to get one going into the third.
And I very much agree with the approach. You said you landed around like 1680 or something, but you had plenty of games left, and so you had games to lose. You had, not much to lose, but plenty to win if you were able to just keep winning. And so that's just something kind of cool about the IC. We'll ultimately see how things shake out when we actually get our we get our emails. Actually, Santino, you won't find out if you get a buy for certain until like almost like the tournament.
I'm pretty sure when
they give us brackets and let us know how many people didn't sign up.
Yeah, I won't find out until then. It really does depend on how many people, you know. My thought process was, so like, I guess just for reference, I finished, I think, 23rd seed for Players Cup 2, and I ended up getting a bye.
Yeah. You're definitely, like, you're absolutely getting a bye. It's just that, you know, like Steven said, if there was a slim chance we do get this, like, crazy full Players Cup. I don't know. I mean, this is the third time around. Maybe more people are going to get their stuff figured out. Maybe the people that are actually qualifying for this are going to be interested in or setting time aside to play. We're just going to have to see when things actually happen. And what is that, next month? I don't even know the timeline of this tournament.
2 months.
2 months, man. We have to wait till March, don't we?
March. See, I'm actually excited about that personally. I guess.
You mean the wait?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll be getting into it a little later, but assuming Series 8 is going to start next month and go into March, we're going to have a lot of development.
Yeah, that's actually something I wanted to bring up, and that I was going to credit your tweet that brought this idea to light, at least for me, was you had mentioned, you know, it's going to be, like you said, 8 weeks from the format start to when the tournament starts?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I guess I can check right now.
And we had, 2 weeks between format start and Players Cup for Players Cup 2.
Yeah, so
for the tournament,
it'll be exact. So, assuming February and March are still Series 8, we'll have about 7 weeks from format start until the actual tournament.
And that is a significant amount of time.
So yeah, we're going to have a lot more time in Series 8 to see, you know, what is actually good. It's going to be a lot more metagame development, which is going to be fun. And that's going to be just very different than Players Cup 2. We still have no idea. Steven and I were holding off on this episode a little bit, just hoping that we would get an announcement this week about what the format is going to be. But we're still in the dark on Series 8. There's all kinds of speculations. Everybody's been talking about GS Cup. Now it seems like the latest speculation is everyone thinks it's going to be Series 6 too. We're going to ban the top mons. And everybody's talking about what that's going to be like. I don't know. Santino, do you have any interesting predictions or things that you're thinking about what Series 8 could be?
I mean, probably the most likely, just based on kind of what we've seen before, would be, you know, just another top 10 ban. I'm personally not looking really forward to it, if that would be the case.
Agreed.
But something that I was thinking about, speaking of GS Cup, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was that Battle of the Legends tournament. Yeah, where it was interesting because you were allowed to use a restricted Pokemon, a mythicals included, but you were only allowed to use one. And I was actually kind of thinking about how format like that could be, where you're allowed kind of one restricted, and I mean, a lot of people have kind of made the comparison of Dynamax to a restricted Pokemon. You know how like a Dynamax Pokemon is just so much more stronger than everything else in the field. So even if you only have one restricted, you can still sort of have two Pokemon at a restricted level, for lack of a better term. So I was actually thinking maybe, you know, that could maybe be something.
I like that.
Maybe even adding like mythical Pokemon as a whole in, although I don't think I want to play in a format where Magearna is legal personally.
Magearna sounds like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's interesting to note, though, you mentioning that, you know, you get to have like two powerhouses. You have your GS Cup Pokemon and your Dynamax Pokemon. And, you know, what ways do people approach it? Like, I remember in 2019 Ultra, I was having similar thoughts. Like, do I want to put my Z move on my Lunala? Because then, you know, I have all of my power centered on one Pokemon. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, do I want to have room for more supporters, or do I want to have my power more spread out? Do I want to give the Z move to my Coco so I can have two legends, a Mega, and a Z move? Or do I consolidate a bit more? Like, you know, there's Mega Rayquaza, which like takes up like two of those roles. It was always kind of interesting how those played out. And so it's going to be like, do I pick Groudon because I want to be Dynamaxing my Groudon, or am I picking Zacian because, you know, I want to be able to Dynamax another Pokemon and also still be able to do full damage with Behemoth Blade? And, you know, it does lead to some cool dynamics when you just have one restricted Pokemon.
Definitely. And we've had a lot of that teaser in a lot of these previous online tournaments, just giving us one restricted or mythical Pokemon to use instead of the, you know, traditional two we've seen over past years. So I am personally just still holding out for Little Cup. Like, it's a pipe dream, But it's just something I've envisioned for many, many years now.
No. Steven, like, this is, like, looking less and less ridiculous by the, I don't know, by the year, just because, like, how often they're changing the format. I don't know. I keep talking about this on the past couple of episodes, but now, Steven, we finally have a guest to get some outside opinions on this. Santino, what is your thoughts on the formats just constantly changing throughout the year? This new series format. I mean, like, I guess we had series in 2019. But, you know, I'm talking about these, like, series where they're constantly changing the rules at a two-month span.
Personally, I haven't been a huge fan, but that's mostly been because of the way they've been sort of handling things. I feel like it always seems like once we get to a point where a format or a series is really starting to develop and feel, you know, just, I guess, more complete, it changes. Like, we kind of saw that with Series 4 going abruptly into Series 5. Series 5 lasted 2 months before abruptly going into Series 6, and I'm hoping the same doesn't happen for Series 7, because I'm actually starting to really enjoy the format, but yeah, I don't know, I'm just not too big of a fan. I guess back in 2019, where we had Sun, Moon, and Ultra, it just felt a little better. I mean, Sun and Moon were pretty similar formats, so
mm-hmm.
It kind of felt like things were sort of naturally, you know, progressing, and then we kind of have the jump to Ultra, which was just super different. It almost felt like an entirely new format on its own.
That's a fair point. Like, I think that's a really, really good point to mention, is that the transition from Sun series to Moon series felt a little bit like some of the transitions we've seen this year from, like, 2 to 3 or 3 to 4. And then that transition from Ultra, or from Moon to Ultra, feels kind of where we're at now with Series 7. And we've got the DLC out, all of these, like, new Pokemon out. We're getting full power creep, you know. We're getting all the powerhouse Pokemon on the field, and they're all obtainable in our hands now. And so it definitely feels like a much bigger change than we saw, I guess, earlier in the year. And, yeah, I mean, Steven and I talked about this a bunch of the past couple episodes, but there was a lot of formats that we just didn't get to explore enough. And, Series 7 is getting kind of interesting. We're seeing, like, Spectrier take off. People were experimenting with Garchomp, you know. There's, everyone's finally getting enough time to look at all the Pokemon because, you know, Players Cup kind of front-loaded the format development. You know, everyone was trying to figure out what is the play for this first tournament, and, you didn't want to get too crazy creative, because if you spend all your time testing everything, you might not find, you might not be able to refine or practice what you actually wanted to bring. And now we've had time to just play with everything, and we're learning what Pokemon actually do work that people didn't give the time of day before. And we might just be getting rid of that at the end of the month and just moving on.
Yeah, if there's anything about this year that has been consistent with the series, is that they consistently change. And that's probably something we are going to keep seeing with Series 8, whatever that's going to be. So, I don't know. At the time of this recording, we still don't have any information on that. If this comes out, like, the next day after we did this show, like, that's just typical podcast how it works, and I'm going to be pretty mad. But anyway, we'll just have to cover that next time. But the last thing I want to talk about here is actually the usage stats from the Players Cup 3, the online competition we just had. So these are all, this data is all in Pokemon Home. Another, like, thing I'm really shocked about is how quickly all this information came out. Like, the stuff, the rankings and ratings, final ratings, as well as this usage stats from Pokemon Home. Like, this was pretty fast. Like, usually this takes them a few weeks to get out. So I'm hoping everything's okay over at Pokemon, because this is very, like, uncharacteristic of them. Anyway, let's get to these these top 20 Pokemon from Pokemon Home's data. Of course, you can just look at that place on your mobile phone if you've got it there. But let's just talk about these and then some comparisons to Battle Stadium as well. Anyway, from the Players Cup 3 online competition, from number 1 to 20, we have Incineroar, Tapu Fini, Rillaboom, Urshifu Single Strike, Regieleki, Glastrier, Landers Therian, Galarian Moltres, Dragapult, Grimmsnarl, Porygon 2, Metagross, Whimsicott, Cinderace, Dusclops, Spectrier, Urshifu Rapid Strike, Torkoal, Venusaur, and Zapdos Kanto. So what do you two make of the top 20 here? What things do you notice? What stands out to you?
It is kind of comical that we have the fire, water, grass in order at the top, though Tapu Fini and Rillaboom are a special case. They're both terrain setters, and therefore honestly not run on the same team very often. There are definitely teams that do run both, but I feel like they are often, as we have seen with Tapus of previous years, a lot of people pick one. They don't want them to be stepping on each other's toes. And, you know, I think that's just, it's interesting that, you know, the more supportive Pokemon are at the top. You know, a lot of teams define themselves by what Pokemon they're going to be maxing most. And while Tapu Fini, Incineroar, and Rillaboom all can be a threat when Dynamax on the right team, we've seen these Pokemon all be Dynamax before, they are, you know, mostly the supporters. And so that's what I think is kind of sad to see in like a Series 8 ban, is that a lot of the top support Pokemon get banned, and then you still see offense go crazy. So yeah, that it's the top three Pokemon are just largely there to enable some of the other things in the format.
It's actually a pretty interesting observation. I didn't quite realize that whenever I was looking at this list. I mean, even just kind of going down even further, I mean, Regieleki is number 5, and really, you got to go into number 6 like last year to really get to a Pokemon that really wants to be maxing all the time. You know, I mean, I guess Tapu Fini can, and so can Rillaboom, but usually they do play some more supportive roles. I guess looking at the list, I mean, we were talking about Grimmsnarl a little bit earlier, but it being number 10, you know, with all the recent, I guess, meta shifts, is kind of surprising to see to me, but also not just considering how popular that thing has been, and really just how, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Versatile?
I guess versatile. It's just that, like, it can use so many moves, and
yeah, absolutely.
For a best-of-one tournament where you just, like, because, I mean, you can probably figure Spirit Break, but even, like, screens aren't, like, a guaranteed thing, because it could be Trick with Full Instance or Eject Button. It could be Fake Tears. It could be Taunt. Some now are running Fake Out. Some have Sucker Punch now.
Thunder Wave and Scary Face for Speed Control are annoying, too.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although, I guess Trick Lagging Tail does that, too.
Yeah, but I mean, just so many different options, and I mean, like, it's a Pokemon that did really well in the beginning of 2020, and then super dropped off once we got the not even at the DLC, like, once we got to Series 3 with Incineroar.
And, I think it was Incineroar, yeah.
Yeah, and Venusaur, like, it just dropped off, and so seeing it kind of have a huge a resurgence in Series 7 is kind of surprising to me. I guess one more thing to note, at least for me, I'm a little surprised to see Dragapult this high on the list. I didn't play many during my run personally, and it just seems like a lot of the more offensive Dragapults have kind of died out. Maybe the ones that are seeing more usage are more support-oriented. I mean, it has won the past two Players' Cup, so it's possible. But, yeah, I was not expecting that thing to even be in top 10. I was thinking maybe something like Porygon 2 or even Whimsicott would be a little higher than Dragapult.
Yeah, especially because this is Players' Cup. Speaking on Dragapult, though, yeah, I think it lines up, in my experience, it lines up more with what we see in the Battle Stadium doubles usage. It's 13th. Whereas Whimsicott is 8th over there, and that's a Pokemon that I thought was going to be people's go-to Pokemon for the IC. It usually seems like offense is a popular pick amongst people who want to run through the IC quickly, and just like a lot of the newer players, you know, cling to Whimsicott, its ability to just enable all kinds of aggressive strategies, like Dracovish and Urshifu, and just Pokemon that love to have Prankster Tailwind. It's a Pokemon that I expected to see a lot of, and seeing it not even make top 10 here is really surprising to me.
Something I want to point out here is the Torkoal and Venusaur, they ranked 18th and 19th, so they're right next to each other, and you know, obviously this seems to point out that they were paired pretty often, which makes sense because they do complement each other very well. So Torkoal's edging out Venusaur just slightly because obviously it can be run a little bit more independently on some of the Trick Room teams. Something that actually surprised me a lot from this usage is actually Cinderace, at 14. And I like Cinderace with, there's so much, physical damage reduction now with, the Reflect, with Breaking Swipe, with Landorus and Incineroar with just their Intimidate. And I'm honestly, like, really surprised to see Cinderace, like, this high with this usage for this tournament. Like, it fell off hard when Series 7 started, and I haven't been too impressed with it throughout this whole format anyway, so I'm just shocked to see it still up here.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I played a lot of games in the ICI. I think I played about 40 or so, and I did not see a single one from memory, so... really interesting to see it up here, and I, like you said, I don't know if it's the most effective in this current metagame. It's just getting kind of phased out by stronger, more potent threats.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised to see it up here too. I was maybe thinking maybe there was a pretty like high profile player who used Cinderace on a team, and that's maybe why it's been kind of picking up. I know Aaron Zeng used a Cinderace on one of his teams. I've been seeing Whiteherb as the actually, you know what? As I say that, there's a team that kind of comes to mind. It has, I believe it's on a spec. It was Life Orb Spectrier, Whiteherb Cinderace with, I want to say a Jekbun, a Whimsicott, Nihilego, and a couple other things. And I don't know. I'm wondering if that team maybe just had a big finish, and that's why Cinderace had been seeing a lot of usage. I mean, Cinderace Spectrier, at least just from my Showdown ladder experience recently, seems to be kind of picking up, so I don't know, but it's definitely back.
And yeah, bringing it back down to Torkoal and Venusaur, Steven, it is scary to see those Pokemon so low if we are going to see a top 10 ban, because of course both of those Pokemon were gone for Series 6 when we saw the Series 5 top 10 usage bans, and seeing threats like those two Pokemon, like I mean, like, all of these Pokemon are pretty crazy. Metagross, Cinderace, Dusclops, Spectrier. Yeah, all these Pokemon avoiding the ban. Yeah, Whimsicott, too. Ugh. I mean, like, I remember in Series 5, Whimsicott got the ban, and we all had to resort to Talonflame for our crazy, crazy hyper-offense stuff. And seeing that Whimsicott would still be the option while we're getting rid of all of these, like, defensive backbone Pokemon, Grimmsnarl, Incineroar, Tapu Fini, Rillaboom, Pokemon that keep the game a little bit slower paced, just gone. I would not look forward to that metagame.
Yeah, it really does seem like it's shaping up to be, once again, just more of Series 6 of just the really, you know, fast-paced, hyper-offensive style of play we got there. A lot of people have been mentioning that Spectrier is a Pokemon that would just utterly dominate because you have, I mean, it's looking like Pokemon like Porygon 2, Urshifu Single Strike, Galarian Moltres, all Pokemon that kind of help keep it in check, are going to be gone. So either it's going to run rampant and it'll be like the mon to beat, or there's just going to be other ways we got to try to get around it. I know we'll still have Pokemon like Tyranitar, maybe other Dark types like Guzzlord will make an appearance again and kind of come back to fend it off. Maybe Snorlax, you know, as a pretty bulky normal will come back. I don't know, but Spectrier is definitely going to be a massive threat if we do get some sort of Series 6 style ban for Series 8.
You guys ever see Guzzlord, like, in the anime, or ever hear it, or whatever?
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's horrifying. Oh my gosh, Steven. What does it do? Yeah, it needs to be experienced. You should probably go look up Guzzlord's Cry if you haven't heard it.
Please do.
Maybe play it on the podcast, Steven, after you do. Just fit it in here in the episode and just torture our listeners with the sound of Guzzlord. Man.
We're gonna slap in Guzzlord right here.
Oh no, oh no. I really hope you didn't. we'll ultimately see what Steven puts out, guys. Sorry if he did.
I'm sorry for bringing it up.
But sorry but not sorry, absolutely.
Yes.
So Guzzlord is a super, super funny one. Man, Kartana's also kind of fun too. There was a lot of people talking about how Kartana just like talks backwards. That was kind of fun to learn.
Actually, real quick, speaking of Kartana, it's not in the top 20.
Completely absent from this, and I thought I typed it in one of the other lists. Yeah, no, it's only in singles at the lower end. Kartana was 19th on Battle Stadium singles, just barely squeaking in there. I know that's a completely different metagame than what we're normally used to dealing with. However, a strong Pokemon across all formats, and to see that it is falling so low is interesting. I don't know exactly what I would say is the, you know, dominant factor. You know, looking at the Pokemon and the usage here, I mean, all of these Pokemon can definitely match up against Kartana, except maybe like a Tapu Fini, and it's just that I don't know what are the combining factors. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. Maybe it just doesn't love Dynamax. Maybe it doesn't use Dynamax well itself, even though I feel like those things are not true. It is interesting to see that Kartana can't make an appearance in top 20.
I think to be fair, Kartana, if I recall correctly, when I skimmed through the usage a little bit, I think I did see it at 21 or 22, so it's not far off from this list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if there's any Pokemon in here that I would say I feel is not exactly justified to be in top 20, except maybe Cinderace. Cinderace feels very strange, and let's go ahead and hop back over to the Battle Stadium usage. Yeah, Cinderace is 16th. It's still in there. I still find this surprising. Indeedee is a Pokemon that doesn't find itself in the top 20 of the Players' Cup usage, but it's top 10, or top 20 in Battle Stadium. Celesteela is over there. Zapdos is in the Players' Cup. There's a couple of notable differences. Obviously, Kartana nowhere to be found, but in either of the list. But otherwise, the only Pokemon that I think is out of place is just like Metagross, man. I think that Pokemon was, as we've kind of talked about on over the past couple weeks for this format, Steven, it's just like an overhyped Pokemon that just like really fell off. I think it'll be stronger in like a format where they ban all of these dark types that are like kind of necessary. Maybe that's like why Metagross isn't so good and Spectrier would dominate, is because these dark types are kind of keeping them at bay. But Metagross is a Pokemon that I do think is maybe a little bit higher than it should be.
Yeah, another note I just want to make about dark types is just like whatever format we get moving forward, if we get to keep things like the Trick Grimmsnarl and the Switcheroo Whimsicott, those kind of things, you know, it is really important to have, it's going to be really important to, you know, focus what good dark types do we have to prevent this kind of measure from happening. You know, Moltres is a good one, the Galarian one there. We have Incineroar, we have Tyranitar, those kind of things. Just because dark types are immune to any of the prankster priority things. So they can just prevent any of that stuff happening from your opponent. And, you know, that's one thing that Moltres really has going for it there as a, you know, prime Dynamax Pokemon. Otherwise, like, we still don't know what the format is. We just don't know what we're getting. So I'm still excited, waiting for that surprise, waiting for that announcement. But I will say, like, the past weekend of just playing in this tournament and at the near end of Series 7, I had a lot of fun with it. You know, this developed metagame, and just I enjoyed playing this tournament. I had fun.
I do still enjoy playing at a higher level. I miss, like, best of threes, and man, do I miss live events. Not to get too sad on here, but yeah, it would probably be fun to play Series 7 in tournament and to kind of see it evolve over the course of live events instead of just seeing where ladder takes us.
Yeah, I'll definitely be sad to see Series 7 go, especially if we do get some sort of ban list, because I do feel like the format is developing at a really good pace, and I think we've actually had this format a little longer than some of the past series, because we had it in November through, you know, to this point, so about 3 months. So it kind of just goes to show that, like, if you do let a format, if you give a format time to grow and sort of develop, it can become, you know, more, I don't know, I'm not sure if balance is, I'm not sure if balance is the correct term, but just more developed, I'll just say.
For, yeah, developed, interesting. Yeah, like, that is something that's very weird. Like, you're, you know, noting that you'll miss Series 7, and that is just something, like, interesting that we have with VGC in general, is that once formats, like, die, they die for good, man. Like, of course, we have all kinds of like online grassroots non-official things that it's like, oh, you know, you can play in a Showdown Room Tour and that's when you can bust out those old teams, but it's not the same. And to think that we're killing formats pretty regularly every 2 months, it's a very different than what we used to do. You get to, you know, experience a format, grow to like it more or hate it, you know, more depending on the format. But, you know, I definitely had stronger feelings for the formats that I got to spend more time with. And so, we just don't get to see the full life of these things when the time is so short spent with them.
Yeah. And especially just with this format being longer, you know, without maybe this extra month, I don't know if we would have seen Spectre come up the way it has. Like, it was very overlooked early on. So I just want to ask you two if you have any last thoughts about the format, about what's coming next before we wrap up here.
My last thought is that I really, really, really want them to make me playing in the qualifier worth it. I hope Series 8 is bomb.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I want to have a reason to look forward to keep playing Pokemon, and if the format isn't that great, then I might lose interest today. I really hope I don't be... You know, I really want to compete again, you know. Again, not to get incredibly sad, but live events being gone, this is kind of all we have now. So if you don't even want to play in that, then you have ladder and that's it. And that's just not as fun.
So true. Yep.
Agreed. Like, I personally, I'm just hoping to qualify for this one. I don't care if I'm like on the very bottom seed. Like, I just want a chance to be in. You know, so it would be kind of fun to have Pokemon matter to me for a bit.
Crossing my fingers for you, bud.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for our show for this, you know, recap of the Pokemon Players Cup 3 online competition this past weekend. And we have bigger, brighter things to look forward to. Series 8, what's coming for February, and what the Players Cup 3 is going to entail. With all these new changes and stuff. So, lastly, I just want to say and give a big thank you to Santino for joining us on the show again. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time being here with us.
Oh, the pleasure is mine, guys. Really, I always enjoy being on the show. So, yeah, thanks again for having me on.
You're doing all of our listeners a favor. They're probably tired of listening to me and Steven talk to each other. I mean, you know, I am tired of talking to Steven, that's for sure. Fine. Glad to have a new voice on the show.
Rough. That was rough to hear. Anyway.
Oh wait, are you including that in the podcast? You can. We'll talk after the show.
Thank you, Santino. And I'm going to head into our wrap up here. And everyone, remember you can send your comments, questions, and feedback to our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. You can also tell your friends about this show if they're interested in a show about competitive Pokemon. They can find us here on the Hyper Voice. Lastly, we're on a bunch of different podcasting platforms. We're all over the place. Some of the highlight ones are Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Remember to leave us a review, say, for example, on Apple Podcasts to help us with visibility so that others can discover the show. And we'll even read your review on air if we get some of those. So, lastly, you can also find the show on Facebook and on Twitter at The Hyper Voice. And you can find all three of us personally on Twitter as well. You can follow me at Super Morioka. Alex, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Lexicon VGC.
And Santino, where can people follow you?
And I can be found at @Super_Santi.
Excellent. Thank you, the listener, so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And stay tuned for more of the Hyper Voice.
Alola.
Hey, everybody. Steven and Alex are back here. Unfortunately, Santino could not join us for the second additional portion of this episode to talk about the new format Series 8, but we just want to say thank you to Santino once again for you know, helping us out with this episode. It meant a lot. And Alex, we have some pretty big news to talk about Series 8 and this new format. This has been like our recording now hasn't even been 24 hours since announcement. My head is just spinning right now. What about you?
Yeah, this is going to be exciting or not. I don't know how to feel about it yet. Of course, the new format freshness is really pulling me in, and there's so many things to try. There's so many things that have got me interested. Why don't we get right into it?
Absolutely. So the Series 8 format has been announced, and the format is it is GS Cup, but in a different fashion. I could almost call it just maybe a G Cup or an S Cup, because you're only allowed to use one restricted legend rather than our traditional two. In a stark contrast to 2010, 2016, and 2019, or our past VGC formats. Now, these restricted legendaries are the ones you would expect. Mythicals are still banned. I'm just going to go over the list of restricted legends once again for everybody. And we're going to dive right into this format here a little bit here. And just some other details about the
really quick
legendaries. Sure.
Real quick, I wanted to jump in here and just say that it's really fun that Santino was able to kind of call this, as you guys might have heard in the earlier part. I believe that was the one that Santino had
predicted. Oh, that's right. That's
most,
right.
So
that was a good call.
Santino had called that. And so, and also, this is like we maybe had mentioned in the earlier segment of this episode. Sorry, it's a day later that we're recording this. But I think Santino had mentioned, or somebody, that there was that Battle of Legends tournament or something that was held or like late in last year, where it was a similar format. The only difference being you could use mythical Pokemon like Magearna and Marshadow and those Pokemon. But yeah, it was a very, very similar tournament. It was doubles. I believe it was Bring Six Pick Four. I'm not positive on that part, but I believe it was Bring Six Pick Four. And so now, I mean, maybe that was their little testing grounds for it. I don't know. We don't have mythicals legal, but yeah. Why don't we go ahead and, Steven, mention those Pokemon that are going to be usable.
Yes, so we have the regular available national decks to us right now, as well as these following restricted Pokemon, only one per team. Mewtwo, Lugia, Ho-Oh, Kyogre, Groudon, Rayquaza, Dialga, Palkia, Giratina, Reshiram, Zekrom, Kyurem, Xerneas, Yveltal, Zygarde, Cosmog, Cosmoem, Solgaleo, Lunala, Necrozma, Zacian, Zamazenta, Eternatus, and Calyrex. Now, what a list! And we do have a bunch of, because we only have one restricted legend per team, this changes things a lot. This changes a lot of what we've known in the past. We have Dynamax in play, we have a lot of different things in play. I also just want to say, to start here, I feel like the combined forms of like Kyurem, Necrozma, and Calyrex, they're not fair because they're using two restricted. Actually, no, maybe not. Calyrex doesn't count that way. But
that's true.
It's two Pokemon. Two restricted, that's not fair. They're cheating.
Of course. And so that I was going to make a similar-ish point in that the list of legends here grows a little bit with those combined forms. Like Steven had mentioned at the very end, Calyrex, he mentioned it once, but it's actually three Pokemon. You can use Calyrex base form, Calyrex Shadow Rider, and Calyrex Ice Rider. Of course, you're probably going to be using one of the Calyrex riding forms, as base Calyrex is not the hottest pick. We'll kind of get into our opinions on these Pokemon in a little bit. I think it's more important that we kind of get some of the, I guess, non-Pokemon VGC playing the game specific things. But I really want to talk about this Reigns of Unity thing, Steven.
Sure.
Just before we dive into the metagame. And then maybe we can just kind of get all of our first opinions on these Pokemon in a Dynamax format. And so let's talk about the Reigns of Unity. This is something that I mentioned a couple episodes back, I mean, plenty of episodes back, when the DLC came out, and it was learned that the Reigns of Unity is locked to the DLC. And I had said, you know, once a GS Cup format comes around, one that allows us to use Legends, I wonder if Calyrex, with its special forms, will be legal. It was never an issue with the other legendaries that had come out with the DLC. Urshifu, you could trade it to other people. Moltres Galar, you could trade it to other people. And though you only got one per save file, there wasn't issues for people that did not purchase the DLC. However, the Reigns of Unity is an item that is only obtainable on a game file that has the DLC. And the Reigns of Unity is used to combine Calyrex with either Glacier for the Ice Rider form or Spectrier for the Shadow Rider form. And you would end up with this combined Pokemon, very much like those of you that are familiar with Kyurem White and Kyurem Black. It is two Pokemon combined into one. However, you cannot trade it to another person. And so you would have to uncombine the Pokemon to trade them. And what this means is that you can't have a friend combine these Pokemon for you, trade it to you. You can't obtain the two Pokemon and do it yourself with an item you can obtain through normal gameplay. Only the DLC gives you the Reins of Unity. So we kind of have our first, I mean, maybe not the literal first, but one of the first instances of a paywall in Pokemon preventing you from accessing an option. Steven, I know we had something similar with like the looking glass thing for the genies in 2012 and 13 or something.
Oh, yes, yes, the reveal glass. And yes. Really quick on the Reins of Unity is like, your point about trading items, like it's because the Reins of Unity are stuck in your key items and those are non-tradable. That would have been like a simple fix, like if you could just trade that between files, but you can't, and that's the big issue. So that paywall issue, despite all the strides we've made in accessibility for competitive Pokemon this generation, you know, this is one that is sort of a setback.
Yeah, I'm really, really not happy about this. It's not a direction I want to see the game continue to go. It was already kind of looking rocky when they announced DLC, like, oh, what would this mean for VGC? And so far, it wasn't a worry, especially with the release of the first one. But as soon as Crown Tundra came out, I was a little bit suspicious about what this was going to mean going forward. And sure enough, it was fine for Series 7, but Series 8 is going to give us some issues.
Yeah, and I think if I remember right, the reveal glass back in Gen 5 for the Therian forms, you needed to get this, like, 3DS. It had to be on a 3DS first off. You had to do a bunch of these stuff on a different game or app or something. I don't even remember. Like, my brother did all this stuff for us. And it was super, like, we didn't even have a 3DS at this point, too. He borrowed the 3DS from a friend so that we could get our looking glass, the reveal, to switch forms from that 3DS into our games. And then he had to give the 3DS back to his friend. So, It's really strange, but the Reins of Unity does present an issue for, I imagine, a decent number of players.
Yeah, and that's all we have to say about it. I mean, like, I guess the important note here is that this wouldn't be such an issue if these Pokemon were terrible. But we're going to go ahead and talk about how strong they are, and in fact, these Pokemon are strong. It's crazy to think, you know, two Pokemon combined in one, having amazing stats. These already pretty strong DLC Pokemon combining to become something even crazier. However, we're going to save them for last, Steven. Are you down to go in Pokedex order to just kind of give our first little opinions about these Pokemon?
Sure thing, let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead and kick it off with Mewtwo. Mewtwo is a Pokemon that, and a lot of these early legends are going to probably be power crept out. You know, Mewtwo, I think, now gets access to Hurricane, which is neat. And it's obviously got pretty good stats, especially considering it's a legendary Pokemon, but speed tier-wise, it's sitting at 130, and we've seen a number of Pokemon outspeed that now. Dragapult would outrun that. You know, Calyrex Ghost Rider, as we're going to talk later, is going to outspeed that. Regieleki is going to outspeed it, and its ability is a little bit lacking. Unnerve and, what's the other one? Pressure. They just aren't really going to make the cut.
Yeah, next up we have Lugia, who actually all the Pokemon who have hidden abilities now have access to them thanks to that ability patch, and Lugia will now have access to multi-skill. It's pretty fast at base 110 speed, really good bulk, but its power is lacking, and there are going to be ways to boost its power, but its typing, it may not be an advantageous one, based on all the other Pokemon we see in the restricted list, as well as just like the other Pokemon in the Pokedex as well. It has the nice advantage of being a flying type, though, so running Airstream is going to be a powerful tool, but I don't really see Lugia taking off all that much.
No, especially when you are only getting to pick one legendary this time around. I mean, Lugia was already a tough pick when you were getting two legends in the past formats, and so that's something that I want to preface at the beginning, is that when this Pokemon is competing to be your one legendary, it's got to be the best. It's got to be like a top tier. And moving on, we have Ho-Oh. Ho-Oh is a Pokemon that doesn't exactly fit the description for a Pokemon that has crazy power, like all these other Pokemon with amazing abilities and crazy stats. However, Ho-Oh has just about the right, all the tools that you would need to make it still viable. Regenerator, being accessible to it now, will make it a great defensive Pokemon. It's got solid typing for dealing with Things like Xerneas and some of the other, just like that special defense stat allows it to tank a lot of hits. And Fireflying, like I had said, is just a decent defensive typing. It's got access to very cool moves in Recover a Roost, Sacred Fire, Brave Bird. It also has a usable special attack stat, and it's going to be a pretty cool, I think, anti-meta Pokemon.
Hoenn just looks so pretty too. I like that part of it.
And, oh, it's a good mon. Great mon.
Yeah, great design. And in our next, we have the trio of our formal primal weathers. And those are no longer going to be accessible to these Pokemon because Mega Rayquaza is not a thing anymore. So it lost the, what was it called, Delta Stream. So there's not going to be Desolate Land or Primordial Sea from Kyogre or Groudon. So Kyogre is the next one, and it's going to be relying on its usual stats and just Drizzle now. Now, it's going to be an okay Pokemon just because of how powerful it is, and it can still be run on really fast teams. Any changing weather will reduce its power to, you know, get off those fast water spouts. You got Origin Pulse still. It has a chance to miss, which is a weird contrast to some of the later moves of Calyrex's moves. And otherwise, Kyogre, I think people will kind of think about its strength in the past and kind of rely on it in the beginning, but I think it might fall off pretty early on.
It's definitely still going to be one of the stronger restricteds, in my opinion. It's actually got a very usable ability. Crazy that these Gen 3 Pokemon, almost untouched, are still showing their viability today. Origin Pulse, I guess, is a bit of a buff that it received, even though it's no longer able to access that primal form. Origin Pulse, Precipice Blades, and Dragon's Ascent are still accessible by all of these Pokemon and are still going to be very relevant for their usage. Kyogre, it's still going to be doing the same old thing. I think it's going to be a pretty strong pick with just like great overall stats. One of the things that's going to keep it from steamrolling maybe the old way it used to is Regieleki, I believe, outspeeds it even with a Choice Scarf and like a Timid Nature if the Regieleki decides to go Timid Max Speed. And we know that Regieleki hits hard when it's allowed to use its electric moves, so
yeah,
and that's going to be cool to see.
And we never had a priority grass move in the past, and now we have Grassy Glide with
Rillaboom is crazy. It's like not, it doesn't match up well into all the legends, but it matches well enough into a certain number of them that Rillaboom probably won't be going anywhere. And speaking of, it does do all right against Groudon, even though Groudon's setting the sun, which would boost fire type moves, and has a decent defense. It's not going to enjoy taking a grassy terrain boosted Woodhammer.
No, and Groudon will still play a key role in setting up the sun. We know Venusaur is still going to be a pretty strong pick, given you only have one restricted legend, so it's still going to have a fine role to play with those sleep powders being so fast, and just with that G-Max Vine Lash, is it going to be pretty big. So even just Groudon itself, it's a strong attacker, can be played in Trick Room and outside of it too, so it's going to be a very good pick.
Oh, Groudon's going to be pretty awesome. Groudon, Kyogre are definitely two to watch out for. Rayquaza is going to be a bit more of a struggle. It does have that Stab Airstream, and like I said, Dragon's Ascent is still here. However, it is a little bit slow. It's also not got the most efficient stat distribution. You know, it's got like 150 in both offenses, but most of the time it's going to pick to go one way or the other. It can definitely go mixed. However, it just doesn't have a lot of bulk compared to some of these other ones, and it also doesn't have the speed. So Rayquaza, in my opinion, is going to struggle a little bit compared to the other legends since it no longer has access to its Mega Evolution.
Agreed. My favorite in design of all of the legendary Pokemon, but I don't see it being like the greatest with viability. So Dialga is the next one. You know, great Trick Room setter here. Very bulky. Otherwise, like offensively, it can still do things. Now has telepathy. It gets telepathy back, which is a nice thing for it. I don't know really what to think of Dialga yet.
I am a big fan of Dialga. Just looking at like early Pokemon that are going to be annoying, Kyogre is one of them, and Dialga still matches up well into that, as well as Zacian, who we'll talk about much later. Dialga does resist that Behemoth Blade, making it a bit more of a viable max target or max Pokemon, and can set Trick Room for itself, like you had said, but also just go on the offensive with that Trick Room. Trick Room setters that can do damage themselves are always pretty fun. Speaking of Trick Room setters, Palkia also learns Trick Room, and is a bit faster too, so at that 100 speed. While that is still slow compared to like these legends that are just being speed crap, and going turbo now, 100 does outspeed a good number of Pokemon. It puts itself above Yveltal, Xerneas, Urshifu, a lot of those Pokemon, Lunala, Solgaleo. Though it's sitting right on top of them, so it's sitting at a good spot compared to other legends. However, I don't know what exactly it's going to do besides just kind of do lots of damage and maybe set Trick Room. It's probably going to be outclassed by other Pokemon doing similar things.
Speaking of being outclassed, Giratina is next, and we already have a pretty strong Ghost Dragon type, which is much faster and much faster than a lot of other key relevant Pokemon in Dragapult. So Giratina and Dragapult do actually share a lot in their move pool, with the support moves, with even like Phantom Force versus Shadow Force. Shadow Force is a little stronger, but like Giratina's speed is really hindering it back despite its extra bulk. I really think like if you want this typing, just go with Dragapult. You need to really make the most out of your one restricted Pokemon.
Max Phantasm on it sounds enticing, and especially that one turn Shadow Force turning into a very strong max move. However, this Pokemon is not immune to Intimidate. It might be better going out the special way. It does have two forms. I guess this is one of our first two-form Pokemon that Steven and I are coming across. And yeah, I don't think either of the two forms are going to make a big shine in the VGC metagame, but happy to be proven wrong. Let's go ahead and move down to Unova. And Unova, we have Reshiram first. Dragonfire, a pretty unique typing from Reshiram. And other than that, its ability is just, Mold Breaker ripoff. It don't really know what it's going to do. Its speed tier is kind of lacking. It's below all of those, above 95 Pokemon that I'd mentioned. Lunala, Xerneas, Palkia, and the like. And so I really don't see Reshiram making a large impact.
Yeah, it's nice that it has a resistance to Zacian's Stab Steel moves. And I remember like back in the Battle of Legends competition, a lot of people were talking about it on Sun teams. So paired with all those other like classic Sun Pokemon. So might make a splash, but I honestly just don't know. It's so early to tell.
And moving on down, we have Zekrom. Zekrom in a similar boat, just on the physical side with a Dragon Electric typing. Same ability, or I guess just a clone of it. And it might be a little bit better because it matches up well into the previously mentioned Kyogre. It matches up well into Ho-Oh. However, Fairy is still a pretty common typing, and I just don't see it being very comfortable in this metagame.
And next up we have Kyurem, which has, three kind of forms you can use. Again, we got Kyurem Black, Kyurem White, and then just the base Kyurem. And the Kyurem actually never just changes type. It just gets those extra moves. So the typing...
And different stats.
Yeah. And, we do have a stronger ice type in a restricted legendary. That's going to be a little bit slower and has probably a better move there. And ice type defensively is just pretty bad. But otherwise, like, I'm not too impressed by Kyurem early on.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that we have a better Ice-type Legendary. We also have a better Ice-type, like, non-restricted Legendary. I feel like I would sooner pick Glacier over Kyurem Black on a team. It just lines up better speed tier-wise with, taking advantage of Trick Room. Better ability, it seems. And I don't know if... I don't know if Glacier needs that dragon typing or the extra coverage. It does pretty well for itself.
Yeah, and the next one is Xerneas, and I think this one's going to see a big fall from grace of where it once stood. It's, again, just the mono fairy type. It needs that power herb to really do anything and get that geomancy off. And with Dynamax, with Zacian in play, with all of a ton of other Pokemon that are faster than it and can deal super effective damage to it, and you got to spend that turn in a base form instead of Dynamaxing Xerneas, it's gonna fall hard.
It doesn't have its partner Pokemon to support it, partner restricted in that sense, so it's going to have to be played very differently. Teams that focused on Xerneas no longer get a second legendary, so it is really going to be focus on Xerneas, and we'll have to see how those teams shine in this metagame. Next up, we have Yveltal. Yveltal is a Pokemon that a lot of people seem to be talking about as a kind of upgrade to Galarian Moltres. I almost see them as just different Pokemon. You know, Berserk is a solid ability, but I guess Dark Aura is just always going crazy. Yveltal really, really has great max moves. Darkness, dropping the Spidef, flying, boosting its speed, matching up well into the Calyrex forms. It's going to be a pretty solid Pokemon. It might even be just stronger than Xerneas in general for the first time in its life. And so looking forward to seeing what Yveltal can do in this format.
Yeah, I'm liking it. And people, you really just have a choice here. If you want Yveltal as your restricted, or if you want that same like coverage, you can just use the Moltres, which is fine, and use a different restricted. Super cool. You're flexible this way. But next we have Zygarde. And Zygarde has multiple different forms, and, you know, it might actually see some play this generation.
You know, so it its forms relate to its ability. It can either run that Aura Break to completely shut down Yveltal and, in a way, shut down Xerneas. Or it can run that Power Construct, which allows it to double its HP and change forms, which I think really just doubles its HP and drops its speed or something like by 10, if I remember correctly. Otherwise, it's Zygarde is going to take a big hit from Tapu Fini actually losing Swagger. It's like kind of weird that another Pokemon's nerfed it. One of its favorite partner from the previous generation will no longer be able to boost it past the Intimidates as much. Zygarde players are going to have to work a little bit harder to make this Pokemon shine. However, doubling your HP and then doubling it again with a Dynamax sounds really, really funny, so I might try it myself.
And the next Pokemon on the list here are Cosmog and Cosmoem, which I'm going to lump together because they don't really have stats and they don't really have a move pool that much. So I'm kind of just going to skip over them, and they'll mostly...
They're going to be the streamer challenge Pokemon. You know that people are going to use them to try to like do well with and like, you know, say, I topped the ladder with Cosmog, and they're the flex legendaries.
Yeah, they're the joke Pokemon. And I'm just going to move up to Solgaleo here, which is actually, we asked Santino, because he wasn't able to join us for this section, to give us a shout out or to let us know who he would like to shout out for the Restricted Legends. And he mentioned Solgaleo. And I'm not sure how to feel about Solgaleo yet. Like, the typing I'm a little worried about, but it can set Trick Room for itself, and it's otherwise pretty strong. Offensively has the, a good move pool too. Alex, I know you've used it at the last Worlds we've had. And Solgaleo, you know, we'll see how it plays in this format.
The thing I'm most excited for about Solgaleo is that clear body, full metal, whatever it's called, full metal jacket. I don't remember its ability name. Its ability is clear body, but a little bit better. And it's kind of cool in that we've seen clear body Pokemon shine so much in Dynamax formats. However, there's a lot of scariness coming from dark types and ghost types, and that does worry me a bit about Solgaleo. However, yeah, getting it to Dynamax to max steel into things and max ground into things, I feel like people are really going to enjoy having the single target ground move that can just take Incineroar off the board, steel moves. It used to run that Searing Sunrays Smash, and now it can do that something similar to it for three turns in a row if it so chooses. So Solgaleo seems like a decent Pokemon. Lunala, however, definitely more popular in the previous GS Cup formats. It might not be the more popular option this time around than Solgaleo because of a new Psychic Ghost in town in the Calyrex Ghost Rider. We're going to talk about that at the end. But Lunala still has that very good ability in multi-scale ripoff. What is it called? Shadow Shield. And it's got like Moongeist Beam, which of course ignores abilities. I don't know exactly what other new tools Lunala has at its disposal. I do believe it has like Expanding Force, but as a solo legend, I think it's going to compete a lot with Calyrex.
Absolutely. And Necrozma is the next one, who can also combine with the previous two legendaries we just mentioned, Solgaleo and Lunala, to make those forms, the Dawn Wings and the Duskmane. And Necrozma, I think we're going to see some usage out of it, mainly because of those big, big base stats, totaling up to, what is it, 680, I think?
I don't remember the total. However, I do remember the ability, Steven. Prism Armor is a very awesome ability to have on your legend, especially when you can Dynamax it and slap a weakness policy on there. It means that while your Duskmane Necrozma might be weak to Ghost, it's going to be able to Dynamax tank the hit and proc its weakness policy. You know, maybe that's not exactly the set everybody will run, but I just like the idea of the ability Prism Armor with a weakness policy.
Yeah, and then next in our trio of Pokemon that have been coded that they can just cannot Dynamax, we have Zacian. And Zacian will deal, when it's holding the, what is it, the Rusted Sword? It will get an attack boost when it enters the field, and it will deal, I think, a 200 base damage attack with its steel move to any Dynamax Pokemon. So it's going to be very, like, very, very much part of the meta to deal with all the Dynamax we see.
Yeah, so Zacian is a very, very powerful Pokemon in that it's got that free plus one and then uninterrupted damage with Behemoth Blade on Dynamax Pokemon. The easiest way to think about it is, assuming your opponent has used max Dynamax candies on their Pokemon, it's doing the same damage to a regular Pokemon as it does a Dynamax Pokemon with a move. And if you've played enough of the Dynamax formats, you know that that sounds very enticing to just not do half damage. Well, I'm, you know, sign me up. Especially with a Pokemon that has such great offensive stats. I should also mention just here at the top that Zacian and Zamazenta do have forms that don't involve them holding their special item. It would allow them to hold another item. When they hold their special item, they gain extra stats and the steel typing, respectively. Zacian is a fairy type and Zamazenta is a fighting type. You will almost always see these Pokemon holding their exclusive items. The stats that they gain and the typing is just so important to the way that they function that I don't know how, but I mean, I'm happy to be proven wrong. I just don't know how viable they will be without it. Zacian is going to be one of the primary Pokemon in the metagame. You know, of course, the new toys, Pokemon's going to keep trying to power creep. And so it's going to be good. However, Zamazenta doesn't exactly fit the same bill. Boosting your defense by one stage is not nearly as threatening upon switch in, and so on top of that, it its stats just aren't as threatening as its brother. So you're gonna see a lot of Zacian. I doubt you'll see much at all from Zamazenta.
And I would almost argue the same thing about Eternatus. Like, the typing's different. It has the same effect with its that dragon move that does, you know, double damage to Dynamax Pokemon. But the typing is weird. It is its speed is, like, it's crazy. It's a 130 base speed, but that's almost not fast enough to deal with everything now. So I don't feel like Eternatus will see that much play either.
Zacian is the one of the three that cannot Dynamax that will be taking the most advantage of it. Eternatus, I guess, yeah, hitting dragon into Pokemon. I don't know. It just doesn't have the crazy stats that the other one does. And what is Eternatus's ability? Do you even remember? Is it just pressure?
Yeah, it's just pressure. That's it.
Oh my gosh. Wow, this is an old school legend, huh?
I mean, if they could give us the, what's that weird form from the story? I don't even know, like,
oh, Eternamax.
Yeah. That would be busted.
Oh, that would be so busted. That thing has like 1,000 base HP or something. It's it would be absolutely insane if that was allowed. And lastly, let's wrap it up with Calyrex. But of course, there are multiple forms here. As I had said earlier, regular Calyrex is not going to see play. If it is, it's because they're trying to flex on you. Let's first talk about Calyrex Ice Rider. That is when you combine Calyrex with a Glacier using the Reins of Unity. And the simplest way to think about these Pokemon is that the Pokemon's typing becomes Psychic plus the Horse type, so a Psychic Ice type. And then if you're familiar at all with Glacier's stats, just add 20 to all of them. And that is what you get when you get Calyrex Ice Rider. And I think the HP, I think both forms have 100 HP, so the HP does not change. But the other stats, just add 20 to all of them. Glacier was already a very strong, like, mixed defensive Pokemon. It was defensive on both sides, very physically offensive. And it does get a little bit faster. It makes it a little bit awkward. But now it gets access to Glacial Lance, which is a spread 110. I think one of them is 110.
It's 130.
One of them is 100. No, this is the stronger one. This is the stronger one.
Yes.
Okay, so the ghost one is 120, but the ice one is 130. And it is a spread ice type move of 130, physical, no secondary effects, can't miss. And it also gets access to Trick Room now. So it can be a bit self-supporting in that way. And lastly, I'll mention the ability. As One is a combined ability. It's one of the first ones, or I guess the first one to ever be exactly this. Besides, I guess, a rock when it's water bubble. That ability is stupid. Yeah, this is As One is Unnerve and Chilling Nay in one ability. Simply put, it's Unnerve plus Moxie.
Pretty much. And man, just think about using these combined Calyrex forms. Like, no resist berries are going to work against these things. You can't even heal yourself with any of these things. It is crazy. It is bonkers, bonkers, bonkers. But just know, thinking about Glacial Lance versus Astral Barrage, like Glacial Lance, there is no ice type immunity to anything with an ability either. So that's going to be hitting everything. And if you're getting KO'd by that move,
you could Shedinja? Be
getting plus two. Go ahead.
Shedinja? You said without with an ability.
Oh, that's right. Shedinja, you're right.
However, what did I want to mention? The other thing that is dumb about these Pokemon is, you know, I'm a big Weezing fan. Neutralizing Gas does not turn off As One. It's just immune to it. So don't expect your Weezing to not give the opposing thing a beast boost when your partner is KO'd. And if your Weezing has a Shuckaberry, it's not going to be eating it in the face of Calyrex either form. So, these Pokemon are quite insane. I definitely think that both of them will have a chance to shine. However, I think the Ghost one is going to shine a little bit more. They gave that one 150 speed. Of course, Spectrier, you know, has 130 speed, and you're adding 20 to all of them. So it's a 150 base speed Pokemon. Ghost, Psychic, same typing as Lunala. With that As One ability, it gets Astral Barrage, which will hit both of the opposing Pokemon with a Ghost-type move of 120 base power. With a special attack stat of Spectrier's plus 20. I'm only saying it that way because I don't remember Spectrier's special attack stat. Oh, it's 145, right?
Yes.
So it's 165. 165 base special attack from a Pokemon that is outspeeding Dragapult.
That is terrifying. Oh,
it is absolutely terrifying. As in terms of coverage, it's still somewhat lacking. It did gain Draining Kiss. And it has, I guess this is important to note as well on top of what I had mentioned before. Get familiar with Calyrex base form's move pool a little bit, because the move pool of the Ice Rider forms are just Glacier's move pool plus Calyrex move pool, and then that special move added on top, their signature moves. That it's simply put just that, and yeah, I think both of these Pokemon are going to be incredibly scary.
Yeah, the Calyrex Ghost Rider, or is it Shadow Rider? Shadow Rider?
Oh, my bad, Shadow Rider, yeah. Sometimes it's easier to refer to it as Ghost Rider for the typing, but yes, it is Shadow Rider in technicality.
I know, I forgot too. But with combining with Calyrex gave it a big buff to its move pool. Now with the Psychic typing, also has Expanding Force and Astral Barrage like on one set. That is pretty terrifying.
Oh man, true.
So, Porygon 2, we're gonna see a lot of you setting up Trick Room in this format, I think.
And Incineroar. Incineroar is still going to be able to keep both of these Pokemon in check at least a little bit. Of course, Max Ground is going to do a lot, and cannot eat a Shuckaberry. Go ahead and keep your Incin safe on an air balloon if you want to be able to have it safely in front of the Calyrex. Jokes aside, Steven and I will probably, the metagame is new. It is brand new. We'll have plenty of time to talk about what supporting Pokemon we're expecting to see, how the metagame is shaping up just over the weekend and the first couple of days next time. But we've already gone plenty long on this, and there's like still so much to talk about, but ultimately we're going to have to make you guys wait.
Of course. And a lot of front runners early on, I'd say probably like Zacian, Calyrex, Shadow Rider, and the Yveltal are like the three, like the big three coming out of the gates.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Those are the ones that I would be most prepared for. And ultimately, just get out there and play games. It's not available in-game yet. Showdown is running like room tours with it. There's the legacy server that's like an alternate Showdown server that you can be playing games on. Get out there and try it for yourself. And if you guys want us to talk about anything in particular, feel free to leave us a like review or comment, reply, something. You know, feel free to reach out to us if there's any of your experiences you want to share with us in the new format.
Yes, so glad we got to talk about this, you know, pretty much immediately and get this news in. So everyone, you've heard all of our stuff already earlier in the show. Again, just want to say thank you to Santino for joining us for this episode. And, you know, I'm Steven. You can find me at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people find you?
You can follow me at Lexicon VGC.
Awesome. Thank you, the listeners, so much for listening and sticking through to the end for this one. And stay tuned for more of the Hypervoice.
Lola.